me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it,
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Flood.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud.
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer this week is Adam Abdallah. We're here till 9 a.m. Central Time. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, you can give us a call at 312-332-3776. If you think you have something that might be worth something, it could be sports, political, pop culture, whatever you have. If you think it has value, might go into Huggins and Scott Auction. Give us a call, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction. Bill Huggins, I don't know if you heard the news out of Chicago yesterday. It's just about everybody in Chicago has heard it all already. Chris Sales, this star starting pitcher for the White Sox, who's there have been a lot of trade rumors about him this week, which is they'd have to get some crazy group of prospects if they're going to trade Sale. But anyway, he's probably not in a real good mood, and the White Sox were supposed to be wearing 1976 throwback jerseys in the game yesterday that Sale was supposed to be pitching. Apparently these jerseys aren't comfortable when he wears them. He didn't like the jerseys and requested that they not wear those in the game that he was starting, and his request was denied, so he did the old Edward Scissorhands he did the old Edward Scissorhands and chopped up all these I think all the 1976 wow. style jerseys. So he got sent home in his clown car, in the White Sox clown car. And my question to you, Bill Huggins, if somehow they could find all the different pieces to just the Chris Sale jersey, and you put them in like Agatha was able to frame them together, you piece them together so you can see that they were cut up. Now, what do you think that jersey cut up and put together in a frame would go for in a Huggins and Scott auction? And that's Edward Scissorhands music that Adam has in the background.
Well, you could also get the pair of scissors and frame that.
Yeah, that actually you'd have to get if you got the exact scissors that he cut them up with.
Oh, that's funny.
That would be good. I think that would be big money, don't you think?
That's a moment in time. I don't think a couple $1,000s is out of the question at all.
No, I think it would be thousands if you could really had the evidence of it, and maybe even some of the other guys' jerseys. But the Sale one would be the classic.
And maybe he has fun with it a couple months down the road, couple years, and signs it.
Yeah, because he does seem like a really good guy with a really good sense of humor, and after he gets away from it for a while he might think
I would love to have seen him actually cutting that all out. Maybe there's a video out there. Somebody took it on the slide.
Pieces just flying and he's got like four scissors going at the same time.
Did he make them unwearable? Did they wear them, or did they wear another?
No, they ended up, he got sent home Matt Albers, who pitched the day before started, and they wore, I think, the 83 retro jerseys, which usually they wear on Sundays. So it was really one of those.
Oh, so he made these things unwearable.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, he
into shreds, ripped them up into shreds.
Yes. So he did accomplish one thing. They didn't wear those jerseys. That was the good news. The bad news was he couldn't start the game. So I don't know if there's a suspension or if that's just it, or if they're going to trade him, or what's going to happen. Now, we have a 2-hour show next week. We're on from 7 to 9 instead of our normal 8 to 9, and it's in conjunction with the National Sports Collectors Convention, which Huggins and Scott will be set up. That starts, I guess, the Wednesday after that, and the bidding starts on the August 1st Huggins and Scott auction, the day after next week. So we'll have a lot of items to talk about next week from that standpoint. But maybe it's the trade deadline also. Maybe we can have, like, I'll be the White Sox general manager. Vince can be the Cubs general manager. Bill, maybe you can be the Nasty Nats general manager. We can have maybe a trade in mind that each of us could come up with for next week. Because with this going now, the White Sox already had a press conference this week saying everybody's basically available, which I don't know why they had to have a press conference on that and couldn't just tell other general managers. I don't know what they were trying to prove with that. But anyway, everybody's available, so that means any dumb trade offer that we came up with won't sound that dumb. You know what I mean?
I think there's a lot of calls happening right now with Sale in discussion to possibly be traded.
So.
You know,
and I think that is why he was a little sensitive and not real happy.
He may never pitch for the White Sox again.
That.
This could be it.
Wouldn't that be something?
What a way to go out!
that would be in. Right up there with other crazy Chicago baseball stories from the past, without a doubt. Well, let's get back to our normal show.
I'm not sure we're ever normal here.
Yeah, we're not really. They're our abnormal show. And we're talking about collectibles, the value of your collectibles. We've got a nice prize box to give away, a 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions baseball box. We're giving away to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item to me, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the program, you get in the drawing for the box. And then we're going to start mixing in a lot of the different items that are already up at HugginsandScott.com that will be in the Huggins and Scott auction. For instance, this has to be just on fire right now. There's a LeBron James 2003-04 rookie year game-worn Cavs home jersey graded A5 by Mears. And I don't know how grading scale works on jerseys. Is A5 a high grade, Bill?
Well, an A5 is the highest you can get that Mears usually gives you, unless you have, like, some form of ironclad provenance of where it came from.
I see.
Then they'll give you a 6 through 10, but A5, and, you know, if it all looks right and is right, A5's about as high as they'll give you, unless it comes with some letter from a charity or something of that nature. Then they'll, you know, then you can get as high as an A10.
Or if you're from MLB and they have the MLB hologram
it,
and that then you can go as high as a 10, I see. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, his stuff, LeBron, after that finals that he had, those last three games, I mean, he really couldn't play any better than he played. His stuff has to be absolutely on fire. There's a $1,500 minimum bid on that jersey, so it'll be interesting to see what that goes for. Then here's something that's kind of interesting. Going back into the old days, the old time days, 1887, four base hits, Jimmy Ryan card graded SGC1. I think from what I'm reading there, that's the only known card of the Jimmy Ryan four base hits card that's even out there. I looked him up in 1888 for the Cubs, who were known as the White Stockings at that time. He hit .332, 16 homers, 64 RBIs. He was good. Had a one, what else? I can't read my writing here. He had 60 stolen bases. My wife makes fun of my writing all the time. And I can see why. Well, you know it's in trouble when I'm scribbling something down. And if I can't read it, well, then who can? And he led the league with 182 hits that year. I really don't know what this is. It's 1,740-something that is. Anyway, he was a good player. So, Bill, is that right that that's the only Jimmy Ryan four base hit card that's out there, or is it the only one graded by them? What's the deal with that one?
Well, it's certainly the only one that's graded, and which kind of, you know, and that's kind of one of the only real ways to follow how many are actually out there. Nobody really knows who has one in their private collection ungraded, but it's the only one that's really surfaced so far publicly. But a lot of those four base hits, when they've been coming out over the last 10 or 20 years, virtually every one that comes out is a one of one. You know, there's very few multiples that have surfaced because there's just very few examples from that set that have ever surfaced.
They're neat looking cards, too.
We had the one earlier last year, maybe the year before, John Clarkson, that went for $90,000.
Wow. Do you remember?
He's the Hall of Famer. Jimmy Ryan isn't, but still,
Now, was that Clarkson graded a one, or what was that? Do you remember?
It was a one as well.
Wow, isn't that something? And that went for $90,000. 1887 four base hits. Now, any of these items that are in the Huggins August auction, if you want to look them up, go to HugginsandScott.com and you can just search four base hits or whatever, and these this will come up. They have previews of all this stuff already up on the auction. Now, also, people can bring in items to me at Triple Crown in Naperville during the week, and if we talk about the items that we bring in, a lot of times I'll tweet a picture of it, and if we talk about them on the show, you get in the drawing also. Now, Pittsburgh David, who's a regular customer at Triple Crown, this was a couple Saturdays ago. We've gotten kind of backed up with all the different things that people have been bringing in and showing me. But this is kind of interesting. A 1975 Hostess Twinkies uncut sheet, which I think was the entire 60-card set on the uncut sheet from 1975. It had a Robin Yount card on there, which would be that the 75 is Yount's rookie card for Topps, so that's kind of neat. And then it had guys like Hank Aaron and Pete Rose on there, so it's kind of a nice intersect from some of the big name guys from the 60s, and then you got Yount starting up, some of the 70s stars on there. But Bill, I think that's maybe only a couple $100 now, but don't you think that an item like that in good shape has some pretty good potential value in the future?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think if you look up in our past history under Uncut Hostess or something like that, we've sold a couple of those sheets for some serious money.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? Not many. I don't think we've had more than maybe one or two over the years. But if you... I vividly almost remember we sold one that went for, when we thought, it probably opened around 200 and figuring it may get 500 or so, and it went for, I want to say, several thousand dollars.
Really? You're kidding? From the 75 Hostess Twinkies, huh? I think I'm still trying to digest a Twinkie from 1975. Wow, that's something. Well, his looked like it's in pretty nice shape, so maybe that's something Pittsburgh David should give you guys at Huggins and Scott a call about and see if you end up, you want to auction that. That might be more...
Oh, I'd be surprised if he wasn't happy with what that thing sold.
Wow, really? That's interesting. Very cool. Now, the number at Huggins and Scott is 301-608-0355. If you do have something that you think might be worth auctioning in a Huggins and Scott auction... Superman Todd tweeted a picture here this morning. He's got a Colts full-size helmet signed by, I think, just Peyton Manning, which, what do you think of Peyton Manning stuff long-term, Bill? Do you think he's going to be one of those top five quarterbacks that's always going to have big value, or do you think his stuff is higher now than it'll ever be? What's your opinion on Peyton Manning?
I kind of think it's higher now than it'll ever be, only because there's, Peyton does shows, he signs, he's a nice guy, he's out there in the public, he loves his fans, and while that's all well and good, it really doesn't bode well for long-term value of their autograph or something like that, because there's so much out there. I mean, now granted, there's the other side of the coin is if you're a jerk or an idiot and you don't sign anything, then there's less of your stuff out there, but I think if you're a jerk and an idiot, you got less fans.
Yeah, right. There's less guys going after your stuff. But that happened with guys like Bobby Hull and even Ernie Banks in the Chicago area, where they were nice to the public. They would sign for everybody, and it does water down the value of autographs. Now, cards and like their vintage rookie cards in high grade and game use stuff or low numbered autograph.
Those will always be valuable. Yeah.
Or the low numbered autograph patch cards that come out of packs. Those are always good too. But just the things like the signed baseballs and all that, if there's a lot of them around, it definitely cuts into the value. We're already at the end of the first break here. So, hang in there. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 9, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We have a Goodwin Champions baseball box to give away. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
I was going to say, with the new release of the Jordan 30, I think it's 31s, right?
31s. I forgot to mention that. They're $185.
Did you ever sell some Jordans?
Absolutely, yeah.
What number were they on when you were,
early? This is when I was two or three. I had the original pair of Jordans, both home and away.
They're now in a frame in your basement, aren't
they? My dad has his original pair somewhere at home. My dad bought a pair of Jordans when,
how much are those worth now?
I don't know. It's a good question. Where's Tom Morgan when you need him?
Every Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Listen, there is a huge shoe business out there.
Can I get anything for my Wheaties boxes for Bulls championships with the Wheaties still in it?
There's not a huge market for cereal.
I still have the cereal in it.
No.
I didn't take out the bag of cereal.
Where's that at now at your house?
In my basement. You saw it. Didn't you see them? First three championships and the Jordan commemorative one.
I saw it, but is it inside the frame as
no,
well?
No. I have the Wheaties on the shelf on the far wall.
I bet there's like maggots in there.
Well, it's sealed.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Well, that was Waddle, Sylvie, and Jeff Meller on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. Whenever they mention me, a lot of times I'll get a bunch of phone calls. And hey, they're talking about you, Waddle and Sylvie. Or they're Carmen and Yurko are talking about you guys. But Bill, I don't know if you got the gist of that. They were talking about Jordan shoes and the value of them. You guys run a lot of the shoes in your Huggins and Scott auctions, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We've had quite a number of pairs of those. I think we've had Jordans and LeBrons, and I want to say even Kobe's and several of the Wizards. A lot of them came from a guy who was with the Wizards in our area who was, I think, one of the ball boys over the years and befriended some of the players. And we went to his house in Alexandria, and he had a room full of these shoes.
Oh, wow. I've never been a shoe guy. I don't know. For me, the idea of collecting somebody else's shoes, I just never really...
I've never owned a pair of anybody's either. But no. Superman Tani has quite a collection.
Oh, yeah. People really into it where I know they go for big money without a doubt. But I'm not a Wheaties buyer. Sorry, Sylvie.
I would use them and wear them if I had one.
Yeah, you know? Right. Me too.
Yeah,
Yeah. But sorry about that, Sylvie, but the Wheaties boxes, I agree with Waddle on that one. Not a biggie there. That's another thing. I could see a Wheaties box if you got it signed. Like, let's say you had Jordan on a Wheaties box and you could get Michael Jordan to sign that and you get it in a frame or whatever, then I believe that's good. But, Bill, do you ever see much value on Wheaties boxes? Anything that's running your auctions at a particular thing is like, ooh, now that did really well.
No.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Not really. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on typically Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be on for a two-hour show. We're starting at our old start time of 7 o'clock and go until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. You can also hear us at live on the ESPN app anywhere in the country, probably anywhere in the world, I guess. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, if you have a question about an item. Now, in the Huggins and Scott, August 1st through August 11th, the bidding goes, their August auction. Lots of items are already up, and you can preview them if you go to HugginsandScott.com. There are 156 different signed 1933 Gaudi cards starting off with a Babe Ruth signed Gowdy card. It's incredible what's going to be in that.
That's amazing.
I would imagine, Bill, there's never been that many different 1933 Gowdy signed cards in one auction at one time. I mean, have you ever seen a bunch like that go at one time?
No, I think you're right. I think it is the largest group that's ever come to auction at any one time. Somebody said they found back in one of the old, I think, Mastro auctions, maybe 10, 12 years ago, that there were about 90-some of them, and those went for some record numbers. There were several of them that were the first ones ever seen and went for crazy money, and this group has additionally more of first ones ever seen. So, yeah, there's going to be some spirited bidding, I think, on quite a number of those items.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. We'll keep you updated, you know, during the auction. We'll have a show right in the middle of the auction, and we'll give you updates on what some of the prices on some of these things are going for. And then
show, Tom, the one we do in the middle of the thing, is I'll actually be at the National that Sunday morning.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and see if I can get Kevin to come on with us.
Kevin Hefner.
Yeah,
from Historic. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That would be good timing because, yeah, he's always at the National, right, set up with his historic autographs.
He'll be there, sure.
Yeah, they've had some good products this year, actually. I just sold I had a Jeter Posada double booklet autograph card numbered. It turned out it's not numbered to two, but I tweeted it to Historic Autographs' attention and find out they only did two of them, and I did a cash and trade deal. There is now a new owner besides myself of that of that card. I got some nice combination of cash and trade where, sure, I got some Chicago stuff like a Santo rookie, a nice Banks autograph or two, and cash for it. So it was a good deal for everyone involved. We got some callers waiting here. Jeff from McHenry's on the line. What do you have there, Jeff?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I got a Spalding mushroom bed here.
Ooh. Probably, I don't know. Go ahead.
Probably from around 1921, I believe.
Okay.
It's been in the family for all these years.
Now, I'm not familiar with a Spalding mushroom bat, but Bill, is that something you're familiar with? Is that an actual bat that was a game size bat that was used in games, or is this like a bat that was handed out at parks, or where did this one come from?
Oh no, those are bats. We've actually had those mushroom bats. The mushroom, it actually refers to the knob on the bat. It's kind of shaped like a mushroom.
Okay.
And yeah, no, those were common bats back in the early 1900s. I don't know, Jeff, that the mushroom bats weren't around a whole lot in the 20s. Most of them were prior to that. It just would really depend on the markings on it, as opposed to whether it could be related to a major league use or minor league or other type of use. That would just be something, if the markings are still readable, how you could determine when it was made and when it was used.
The only markings that are on here, it says Spalding mushroom. That's the only markings that's on here.
Huh. I'd love to see that bat, actually. So do you think this could have been a bat that was used by a major league player in a major league game?
I don't believe so. It's like it's been in the family for all these years.
I wonder if I ever used that in softball in the 80s. I had a good bat there one time that really seemed old. Well, I wish I had been able to use Hoosier bats. I wish they were around in the 80s for softball. That would have just been unbelievable. But we digress once again. Anyway, that's a neat item. Bill, do you have any estimate of value on those bats, if it's not one that was used in a game, but just a Spalding mushroom bat?
Just the general mushroom bats probably sell for $200 to $300.
That's what I was thinking.
If you could relate it to the game, you may be able to add a zero to that, you know.
Yeah, very nice, wow. Jeff. Well, I guess try to do a little research on it, or if you want to stop by Triple Crown in Naperville sometime with it, I'll take a picture and tweet it, and we'll see if we can find something out. But I love old equipment like that. It's so cool when you think that some guy was using this, over 100 years ago or whatever. I just think that's really neat. Okay, we've got Sean from St. Charles on the line. What do you have there, Sean?
Yeah, I have a 1959 White Sox plate. I don't have it anymore. My son-in-law is not known my son-in-law anymore. I gave it to him.
Oh, boy, that's a bad combo. Gave it to the son-in-law who's an ex-son-in-law, huh?
Yeah, he's my ex. I don't know if it's signed or not.
You didn't give him any of your old cards or anything, did you, Sean?
I also have Sally Rand picture signed by her and a letter. Sally Ooh. Rand.
Okay, yeah, you still have that, or did you give that one away?
No, I got that one.
What do you think of that one, Bill Huggins, Sally Rand?
There used to be a club here in Chicago. It's not there in the club no more. Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know that we've ever sold any of those. That may be a first.
Yeah, do you think that would be something you'd want to try to sell?
I don't know. I would try to sell it. I don't
know. No, not you, Sean. We know you'd be interested in selling it. We want to see if Bill Huggins is interested in trying to sell it for you, Sean.
Oh, well, okay. If he could bring it, is he near you, Tom? If he could bring it into your store and you could take some pictures,
okay.
I'd be happy to have the guy do a little digging and get back to him.
And see what the value on that might be. So, Sean, if you do stop by Triple Crown in Naperville sometime, I'm there Monday through Saturday, give a call first, and we'll do that. We'll take some pictures, send them to Bill, and they'll see if they can find if it's going to be a valuable enough item to go in an auction.
Okay.
Now, your 59 White Sox plate, that's not going to be probably that great of an item. Pretty cool item. But do you have any old cards from the 50s? Were you old enough to be at the 59 White Sox World Series by any chance?
Yeah, I'm old enough.
Okay. And so that means you were actually there? Did you save
No, I haven't. I'm not a White Sox fan. I didn't like the White Sox anyway.
Well, what are you doing with that plate then, Sean?
That's why you gave it away.
How did I get this thing?
So I bought it and I gave it to my son-in-law. Like I say, he's not my son-in-law no more. I also have some golf cards. And that guy that just won the British Open.
Okay. Vince, this is a friend of Vince's, right? Okay, there's a story behind this. Sean, you got a second? We got another. We're digressing again, but this is something we got to talk about. Last week in fantasy golf, okay, first off, I had Henrik Stenson. That was my guy in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he shot a 69 in the first round.
Right.
And then he withdrew.
Why?
Not sure why he withdrew.
He just went back or something. He just, whatever. Okay, so I got zero, nothing. Yes. I was like in 12th place at the time, got nothing.
Yep.
So we move ahead to the British Open.
Yes.
I have Phil Mickelson.
And I couldn't take Phil that week because I took him already earlier in the year to Farmers Insurance, and he missed the cut.
And he got nothing
69,
for you.
He got a zero
now,
for me.
Vince and I don't know who we're picking before we pick him. So it just happened to be coincidence that he picked the guy that got nothing for me, and I picked the guy that got nothing for him.
That's right.
And then they happened to go head-to-head in really the most entertaining final round of a major golf almost that I ever remember watching.
Yep.
Part of it was probably because we had fantasy golf, but it was really, they were playing great.
Yes,
Mickelson shoots a 65.
And loses,
Henrik Stenson decides to be completely unconscious and shoot the round of his life and wins it.
Yes.
So he single-handedly killed my fantasy golf up to this point. Yep. I'm now 29th, and
I'm doing a little better than you are. And if Snedeker wins today, I think I'm in the top 10. So,
well, Snedeker at least did well for me. Yes. Yeah, and I've got a guy that can't even pronounce his last name, Tringali. I don't know what it is. But anyway, Sean, I think there's some question that you had that led to all this. Were you talking about Henrik Stenson or the British Open? What were you talking about?
Yeah, I got a 90 box full of 90 golf carts, and I happen to have his name right on the top of it while listening on your station to the
Henrik Stenson. He wasn't in a 90 golf, was he? He's not that old, is he?
He's in his
he's
30.
40, I think.
Nicholson's 46, and he was 30 something.
Okay,
wait a minute.
You might have the wrong guy there, Sean, but we'll move on.
Yeah, Stenson's 40 right now. 40 years
old. Yeah, so he wouldn't have been like 14 and on the tour yet. Although
probably not.
I probably would have picked him. I probably would have picked him, and he wouldn't have done well. All right, let's get back to a call. Get back on track here, Dave from Tinley Park. What do you have? Hello, Dave. Hello? You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I have a couple pairs of those Air Jordans, the original one, number 6. Ooh. One is new and one is used. The used one has those foam that is cracked along the sole, you know, all around the
okay. shoe itself. Did you use them or did Michael Jordan use them?
Well, one pair I used it. The other pair is brand new. It's still okay. In the box.
So, Bill, what's the difference in value on original Jordans if they've been worn and in kind of mediocre condition or if they're brand new out of the box?
Well, a lot would depend on does he still have the box, too. That was those
I
were
still
a
have the box in all of. I still have the box in all the Sharif here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there again, you're going to get into personal preference as far as do people want them used or do people want them new? And I'm taking it that all these were used by people other than professional athletes.
That is correct. I only have it's only being used by me, and I put it away. It's still in good shape, great shape.
Can you dunk, Dave?
Pardon me?
Can you dunk? I mean, how good are you? Maybe did you have a professional career or a chance for one?
Believe me, if I could dunk, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Oh, so you'd have an attitude then, Dave. Okay, well, back to the shoes. What do you think, Bill? Okay.
Yeah, no, some of those shoes, if they're the early issued ones in the boxes, they could bring, you know, $1,000 or more.
Yeah, very nice. So it'd be interesting to see.
Okay, another question for you since we're talking about Jordans.
Okay.
What is the value of the Jordan? It's not a Jordan card. It's a Sam Vincent card where Jordan's wearing a different number.
Oh, where he had the number, like, 12. The 12 jersey on. That's not worth that much at this point, but if you have a really nice one, the way Jordan cards have been going, the way the values have been climbing from the late 80s, it's something you might want to try to do. Take a get them graded. I was just going to say take a picture because somebody was just taking a picture out here. I'm waving. I can't multitask without a doubt when I'm on here. But get that one graded if it's really sharp, and down the road maybe it'll be worth something because that is kind of people bring that one up quite a bit. Like what number did Jordan wear besides 23 and 45? It was for one half of a game when his jersey was lost in Orlando, I think it was, right?
Yeah, it was, and it was stolen.
Yeah, and so he ended up, I think, just for the first half, he wore a number 12. But how about the pricing on Michael Jordan cards in general from the 80s? His 84 star card, number 101, there's one of those going in the Huggins and Scott August auction with a $5,000 minimum bid in a BGS 8.5 grade. You got to have those graded, by the way, by BGS if you do have those. The 86 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie card is just going crazy. There's a PSA 9 in the Huggins and Scott August auction, $2,500 minimum bid. Though that could break $5,000 now. It seems like those have gone up that high. I remember having one in. Somebody else remembered this. We were talking about it yesterday at Triple Crown. I had one in the case for $1,900 a few years ago. And somebody bought it, and like a year or so later, he was kind of complaining. He goes, boy, that card's really dropped. And it's like, well, you know, they can. It's kind of like a roller coaster with a big-name guy like that. They can go up, they go down. You never know. And if he hung on to it, now it's up $5,000 or
really?
So,
wow.
and not bad. Now, one other thing you have in the Huggins and Scott auction that ties in with Jordan and the Jordan rookie, a PSA 8, don't open this, Vince, PSA 8 1986 Fleer basketball pack with a Jordan rookie showing on the top card. You can actually see that, Bill, I take it?
Yeah, they could use the wrappers are kind of see-through-ish a little. And,
okay.
Steve Hart, who grades them, he could see it in there, so he put it on the little slip thing.
Oh, boy. Oh, I can. Now, what do you think would be, what would you rather have, a PSA 8 pack with Jordan on the top showing or a PSA 9 Jordan rookie? Which do you think ends up going higher in an auction?
I say, I don't know. Sometimes the unknown sells for more than the known.
I think so. Where somebody might be thinking, well, maybe that's got a shot at a 10, you know, or who knows, or just because it's an unopened pack with Jordan showing, there's probably less PSA 9 or less of those than there are nines that are graded. Wouldn't you? I mean, there has to be less.
Oh, yeah.
Less or packs less, yeah. With that. Yeah.
It would stay unopened for about 45 seconds in my possession. No, I would just Vince, have to open it.
You don't
have
to do open it. Don't do it.
That's the fun of the whole collecting.
Is that what that fun. Would go through your mind and then it's, rip it
right,
open?
That's right. Then on to the next one.
And if it got graded a 10?
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, it's time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a nice box this week, a 2016 Upper Deck Goodwin Champions box. So if you call with a question about the value of an item, you get in the drawing. Or if you have tweeted me a picture of an item, at @TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, @TCrownTom. And if we use that on the show, you get in the drawing also. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. If you have a question about what your item might be worth, if you think it's valuable, you think it might be worth going in a Huggins and Scott auction, give us a call. And Bill Huggins is on with us every week. He can give you an idea of what it might go for. Definitely worth checking out. So now, Bill, I'm sure you know about this, but this is something our listeners might not have heard of. This was a month or so ago. A federal judge blocked the sale of an Emmy Award that Whitney Houston won 30 years ago after it was put on the auction block with another auction house by the late singer's family. Apparently, what that came up out of this, Emmy trophies are loaned to an artist, but that it retains ownership rights to them and they cannot be sold after the artist dies. If an heir no longer wants an Emmy Award, it must be returned to the Academy for storage in memory of the recipient, according to court filings. So that's interesting. Have you ever had anybody contact you with an Emmy or an Oscar about trying to sell those, Bill?
No, I don't think that we have. But, yeah, I know the Oakland Raiders kind of have when Al Davis was alive, he kind of had a buyback policy on rings from his players, which was similar to that, whereas if they wanted to sell their rings, he didn't want them on the open market, and he would pay them over face value or over value for them so that they just didn't look like any Oakland Raiders were selling their rings. So.
Really? Wow. That's it. Now, since Al Davis passed away, have there been any rings go out on the marketplace?
I haven't seen a Raiders ring. I bet you his son probably is still instituting that policy.
Wow. So. That means if somebody does have a Raiders ring out there and wants to auction it with Huggins and Scott Auction, it would go for a lot of money. Think about that. Yeah. If there haven't been any.
However, unless it was stolen, in which case I'd be getting a call from the FBI that says we're coming to get it.
Well, let's say, though, it was a former player who wanted to sell it, and he didn't want to sell it back to the Raiders. It's his ring, right? I mean, it's not like this.
No, I think it may be something along the lines of the way they issued the Emmys or something.
Oh.
Maybe when the Raiders issued their rings, it was sort of,
oh,
we're giving you this ring, it's yours forever, but you can only sell it back to us.
Oh, so really they signed something like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Huh. That really is interesting. I never heard that. You learn something every day, don't you, Vince?
Did Marcus Allen win a Super Bowl with the Raiders?
I think so.
I know
so.
He didn't get along very well with Al Davis, so I'm not sure he would adhere to that policy if he wanted to sell his ring.
Yeah, that would go for a lot, too.
Would.
But yeah, well, that's interesting. See, I didn't know that. All right, well, we have John from Streamwood waiting on the line. What do you have there, John?
Hi, I have a very unusual item. I don't know that it's worth very much, but it is unusual. This goes back to when the WWE was the WWF. I have a poster, a regular poster that they would put up promotionally with all the different wrestlers that would be appearing at that particular venue. It's approximately 11 by 14, maybe 11 by 18. But the bottom line is the featured match had Andre the Giant against Hacksaw Duggan. And this particular poster is autographed by Andre the Giant. Is that worth anything?
Now, he passed away at a pretty young age, too. I don't know how old he was. Do you know how old he was, John, when he passed away? Was he?
This would be approximately 40.
Around 40, yeah. And a legendary wrestler. I would think there's not a lot of his autographs out there, especially on a... Now, this was an actual, like a match poster where it was advertising this match?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. They advertised that match and several other matches on July the 24th, but I don't have the year on it.
So, okay.
But it goes way back because that's when the WWF was still the WWF.
Now, that sounds like that has the potential, to me, to be very good. Do you agree with that, Bill, that might be a good auction item?
Oh, absolutely. That could be $500 to $1,000 or more.
Yeah.
If it needs to get authenticated, we clear that hurdle. And I have a lot of guys, I think, who would be interested
in
that.
Yeah, that could do very well, John. If you want to contact Huggins and Scott Auctions, you know, contact Bill Huggins and... That might be a good for their October auction. Wasn't Andre the Giant like legendary in how many beers he could drink? Like over 100 or something.
That's why he's got the nickname Giant.
Is that true, Jen? You heard that too?
Oh yeah. No, I read one of his autobiographies. He also has a movie coming out on his life. But the bottom line is, he could drink anybody under the table.
Wow. Now, who's playing Andre the Giant in that movie? Oh, do you know?
They have not cast that yet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
that is
interesting. He died in 93 at the age of 46, by the way.
46?
Yeah,
he died that long ago. Yeah, 1993. Oh, I would think, Bill Huggins, that would be a really good auction item. There can't be many of those out there. That would be interesting to see.
No, not at all.
Yeah, just to see what happened with that. Now, in the Huggins and Scott, that you can have... items like that. If you have autographs of celebrities, they don't have to be just baseball or football players. Any sport, non-sport celebrities, obviously, vintage cards. 1952, we were talking about Michael Jordan stuff being valuable. 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle cards are just on fire now. And here's a PSA 2.5 going in the Huggins and Scott auction with a 5,000 minimum bid on that one. And then a 51 Bowman, it's actually an older card. It came out before the 52 Topps rookie. 51 Bowman Mantle SGC 5 with a $2,500 minimum bid. It's kind of a little bit strange that's how it ended up working out, Bill, that the 51 Bowmans aren't as valuable as the 52 Topps on the Mickey Mantle cards. You have any? Can you give us an explanation why that is?
Well, the 52 Topps baseball product is probably, that's one of the icons of the whole card industry. I mean, that's like the T206s and 52 Topps. And then when you got the 52 Mantle that is the highlight of the thing, that you can almost see how it superseded the 51 Bowman.
Yeah, it really has turned into the set from the 50s, and that Mantle card, I guess if you had it on the Mount Rushmore of cards, that would be one of them, the 52 Topps Mantle and the Honus Wagner, maybe a Ruth card, you know, a Gowdy or something, and I don't know, maybe the Jordan will make its way on. I don't know if it's old enough right now, but that's not bad either. All right, we have Reggie waiting on the line. What do you have there, Reggie? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those commemorative coins from the Bulls championship years. I used to be a volunteer for that Shoot the Bull
Oh, really?
3-on-3 tournament that they used to have. Yeah, and every year they'd give us a gift pack with commemorative coins from the Bulls championship years.
Now, are they?
And I was wondering if they have any value.
Are they pure silver, or any idea, you know, on that, or how many
they're
they produce?
Copper. They're copper. They're not commemorative. They're not, you know, like any precious metal or anything.
And they weren't numbered, low numbered or anything. This was something that they gave out pretty.
Yeah, they are numbered. They are numbered.
How many?
I've got 3.
No, I mean, how many? What was the number on the print run? But how many did they actually produce of these? You know,
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I know they gave them to the volunteers.
Did you get any other neat stuff, like any game used stuff from any of the players or anything? Did you get to know any of the players?
No, none of that. I think one year they gave us a tour of the United Center or the stadium or whatever, and that was about it. You know, we basically just refereed the games and stuff. They gave us a nice lunch. They gave us a gift pack with some hats and some different little items, and then they gave us the commemorative coins.
I see, yeah.
And I was wondering if those coins had any value.
Well, they'll always have a demand for them, but, Bill, I don't think they go for a ton at this point, do they?
No, I want to say I've seen them, and they may be in the $50 to $100 range on their best day.
Yeah, so it's a neat commemorative item, but not a lot of value to that at all. So in addition to the 51 and 52 Mickey Mantle cards, here's something interesting for political fans. If you're this whole crazy presidential race, there's a Hillary Clinton signed first edition autobiography with a $150 minimum bid. And then there's also a Donald Trump signed dollar bill. That's kind of neat. Actually, that may be the perfect item to have signed by Donald Trump. Don't you think? A dollar bill?
You said it right. Crazy is the right
operative
word. It's
a crazy presidential election, without a doubt. Now, what do you think these are going to do, Bill? Do you think Hillary and Donald Trump stuff is going to be hot here in August, or do you think it's going to have to be whoever wins their stuff's going to take off after November? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think both are going to happen, of what you just said. Both are going to be hot in August, and then the one who wins will still be hot in November. So, yeah. The fact that the August auction is taking place where you don't know who's going to win, they're both going to get some good interest. But after the loser happens, then I think it's the winner goes on and the loser goes home.
Yeah, that all of a sudden it'll have a flat tire in the pricing and that stuff. Yeah. Now, don't forget, in the Huggins and Scott auctions, it's not just vintage stuff. It's not just stuff from the 50s and older. There's actually newer players in there. And here's a couple of things that both in the NBA Finals this year, Kyrie Irving, who stepped it up big time, to me, he's moved into one of the big stars in the league now. There's a 2012-13 National Treasures rookie auto patch numbered to 199. So that's more numbering than like the Steph Curry. His is a 99 from 09. But graded BGS 9.5 with a 10 autograph. $500 minimum bid on that. That's going to go for a lot of money, I think. I can't see why Kyrie Irving stuff wouldn't really continue to climb in value.
I think it will, too, with them winning the championship and the redemption with LeBron James.
Oh, and he had
a whole ton of Cleveland.
He had some big shots.
Absolutely.
And when, you know, with that, he had that 41-point game. He was playing great. And then there's a Steph Curry rookie playoff contenders rookie ticket autograph graded PSA 10, $500 minimum bid on that one. Now, his items are a little bit down, I think, from where they were in March. In March, people were thinking they're going to break the Bulls' record for the season and win the title. So his stuff's down a little bit, but still incredibly hot. Yeah. So both those items, the bidding begins August 1st in the Huggins and Scott August auction. So it's not just vintage stuff, although there's tons of vintage stuff. We've got all the different Sonny Jurgensen has a lot of items for sale at auction in that auction. So check out HugginsAndScott.com. And Vince, it's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Dave from Tinley Park. So Dave, send me your address via email, vince@ercdelivery.com. By Thursday, I'll deliver this week's prize to your home address or work address free of charge.
Free of charge. And yes. Now, don't forget, you have to contact them by Thursday. If you don't get them by Thursday, that's going to be the end of that. So go to HugginsAndScott.com. The previews are up. This is going to be a great auction. There's tons of stuff in there. Huggins and Scott will be set up at the National. And now don't forget, next week we have a two-hour show. We start at 7 o'clock. We're on 7 to 9 Central Time next week on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And Jeff Meller's following us with a show. Hang in there.